Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here today to share the Dharma together. As always, do not try to analyze or understand Atesho in the usual intellectual sort of way. Just let it in. Listen with an open mind and an open heart. And if you feel the need to shift your posture during Atesho, that's perfectly fine. But please do so quietly and unobtrusively. And however you sit, keep the head up and the back straight. As you sit here, what are you looking at? Serious question. What is the ultimate reality of this moment? What is your direct experience? If you're suddenly cudgeling your brain about this, please knock it off. Don't check your mind. Today we will join Master Xiang Lin and study his teaching. His dates are 908 to 987 of the Common Era. But very little is known about his life, except that he's a Dharma heir of Yunnan, the Dharma grandson of Shui Feng, and grandfather of Shui Do, the compiler of the Blue Cliff Record. So to begin with, we'll look at case 17 in the Blue Cliff Record. It's the Hekagan Roku in Japanese, or Biyan Lu in Chinese. In almost all the cases in the Blue Cliff Record, the editor commentator Yen Wu includes a pointer, an introductory paragraph. And the pointer in this case reads, "Cut through nails and shear through iron. Then you could be a master of our school. If you run away from arrows and avoid swords, how could you possibly be a competent adept? The place where even a needle cannot enter, I leave aside for now. But tell me, what's it like when the foamy waves are flooding the skies? To test, I cite this. Look." Yen Wu challenges us at the get-go. Your sight must be clear. See what is directly before you in this moment. You must cut through all the delusions and attachments and emotions that pull us in so many directions, anywhere but here, any time but now. All our thoughts are about past, future, other places that are anywhere but this place. This very moment, where not even a needle of thought can enter. If you run away from arrows and avoid swords, if you avoid the discomfort, the pain, the vicissitudes of your life, and always seek comfort in distractions, even in zazen, that is not practice. That is not the way. Never mind looking for some great blank void. What is it like when foamy waves flood the skies? What happens in the ups and downs and joys and sorrows of your life in time and space? Where is your practice in this moment? What is immediately before you? The main case reads, a monk asked Xiang Lin, what is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? Xiang Lin said, sitting long and getting tired. Xiang Lin appears only in this particular case. He shows up nowhere else in our koan curriculum. Maybe he's just too tired. But what is characteristic of Xianglin's Dharma? When he was a young monk at a monastery in Chengdu City, which is, by the way, now a tourist attraction and the home of a giant panda reserve, there is related the following incident. One day, while hoeing in the fields with the other monks, Xianglin heard a monk yell, "Look, the Su house is on fire!" Xianglin, not seeing anything, said, "Where's the fire?" The monk said, "Don't you see it?" Xianglin said, "No, I don't." The monk then said, "This blind fellow." For some time, all the monks said that Xianglin suffered a failing. Suffered a failing. Really? What was he supposed to see? Buddha said the world is on fire. Everything is impermanent. Now that's a powerful metaphor. Yes, nothing lasts. But if I suddenly yell, "This Zendo is on fire," that's a little too cute. How does that help anyone? Xianglin saw what he saw and said so. I would say that he didn't fall into the metaphorical trap. Another example of Xianglin's teaching is the following. A monk asked, "What is the master's special medicine?" Xianglin said, "It is not other than common taste." The monk said, "How about those who eat it?" Xianglin said, "Why not taste it and see?" Taste it and see. Experience directly beyond metaphor and opinion and clever analogies. The real test of our practice is when the untoward happens. How do we deal with sudden unpleasantness that crops up in life and disturbs the serenity we have so carefully nurtured when foaming waves flood the skies? Here's a story from my favorite Zen scripture, Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. Yamaoka Teshu, as a young student of Zen, visited one master after another. He called upon Dokuan of Shokohu. Desiring to show his attainment, he said, "The mind, Buddha, and sentient beings, after all, do not exist. The true nature of phenomena is emptiness. There is no realization, no delusion, no sage, no mediocrity. There is no giving and nothing to be received." Dokuan, who was smoking quietly, said nothing. Suddenly, he whacked Yamaoka with his bamboo pipe. This made the youth quite angry. "If nothing exists," inquired Dokuan, "where did this anger come from?" See what you see. Feel what you feel. Hear what you hear. You don't have to imagine or construct some notion of emptiness or Buddha nature as something other than the experience of this moment. In this moment, there is neither. Back to our koan. A monk asks, "What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West?" We know that this is a way of asking, "What is the truth of Zen?" Or what is the great reality? And there are as many answers to that question as there are teachers who face it, or as anyone in general must face the great matter. What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? What is the meaning of your coming here this morning? What is the meaning of your sitting here, of your life? Xianglin says, sitting long and getting tired. Another translation has it, I am tired from sitting so long. I think the first version is probably closer to the original Chinese. There are no personal pronouns in ancient Chinese. No I or me. This might sound a bit Orwellian, but language does determine thought. If there's no word or concept for myself, is there a self? Maybe that's why Tang Dynasty China was crawling with deeply realized masters. Sitting long and getting tired. How long has Xianglin been sitting? A few hours? A few years? Many lifetimes. How long have you been sitting? If you say, I started at 8 o'clock this morning, you're selling yourself short. If you say, I've been sitting for 2 years, or 10 years, or 30, or 50 years, you are still selling yourself short. How long has Buddha been sitting? Zazen, sitting Buddha, has no fixed form, no time span, no place. When did your sitting begin? When will it end? How long has Zazen been doing Zazen? You are already Xianglin's sitting long. You are the Buddha's long, long sitting. Since the very beginning, since before the empty eon, Buddha is sitting. The greatest part of Xianglin, the greatest part of you, the part that really counts, has been doing Zazen from before the empty eon. There is no Buddha's Zazen. No Xianglin's Zazen, nor is there your Zazen or my Zazen. There is only Zazen. There is no need to enter into Zazen. You are already there. Our job is to realize that every moment. What keeps us here on the mat? What keeps us practicing? Bodhicitta is the mind that seeks the way. Bodhicitta is manifest in your sitting at this moment. Bodhicitta can also be translated as resolve, which has several meanings in English. One meaning is determination, dedication. Another is to come to terms with, to realize, to answer, as to resolve a question. It can also mean to transform, to clarify, as a shadow resolves itself into a cat as it is seen more clearly. Or it can mean to break something down into its components. The term bodhicitta can be resolved into great doubt, great faith, and great determination, the three indispensables of practice. Great doubt, the wondering, the desire to know for oneself through personal experience, outside of explanations, doctrine, or theology. Great faith, the certainty that this doubt can eventually be resolved, maybe not now, or next year, but one day. Great determination, the willingness to do whatever it takes. The next Zazenkai, next session, sitting after sitting after sitting. Xiang Lin says, sitting long and getting tired. That is Xiang Lin in the moment. If the monk had asked that question an hour earlier, or an hour later, or maybe even just a minute later, would Xiang Lin's answer have been the same? Is this the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? If you say yes, 30 blows. If you say no, 30 blows. When did a master ever answer a question? Sitting long, getting tired, my nose is vertical, my eyes are horizontal. There is nothing special. Sitting long, sit as long as it takes. There is no end to it. Getting tired. This sitting long and getting tired is what we experience in this world of time, space, and karma. It's not easy. As the sitting through this afternoon wears on, the body may begin to experience fatigue, soreness. The mind experiences restlessness, torpor, maybe discouragement. But who is it that really experiences all this? It is only the ego self that can experience anything. Who is it that gets tired? Only that ego self. And when the ego is tired, it is less and less able to get in the way. It can't assert itself as effectively. And that's the opportunity to go deeper. This is why our extended sittings are so important. It's an opportunity to get tired. For the self to get tired, to exhaust the self. The flagging energy of the self is replaced by the increasing energy of Joriki, the energy of the universe. Getting tired is the manifestation of Buddha's sitting. Even as the waves on the surface of the great ocean, what we see is but the outward appearance of the still and silent depths. Pain in your knees, it's the Buddha's pain in the Buddha's practice. The sore back, stiff shoulders are the same. Even the turmoil of the mind, the boredom, the fatigue. Zazen is not an escape from all that. Zazen is where we just see all that clearly for what it is, our true nature itself. This case is often compared with another case in the Blue Cliff Record, case 26. A monk asked Bai Zhang, "What's the most extraordinary thing?" Zhang answered, "I sit alone on this great sublime peak." The monk bowed, whereupon Bai Zhang struck it. Bai Zhang sits alone on the great sublime peak. Is this different from Xiang Lin sitting long and getting tired? Did Bai Zhang never get tired? Did he just have a better attitude? Your very exhaustion, your restlessness, everything you experience, see, hear, feel, touch, even think, is none other than the great way itself, the sublime peak. Yes, we all sit on the sublime peak, nowhere other than on your zafu. But don't try to make that leap right to the sublime peak until you have thoroughly studied and realized sitting long and getting tired. You will find they are not separate. Let go of any notion of a person experiencing, of anyone seeing, hearing, feeling, or touching. There is no person aside from these. So do not avoid getting tired, getting uncomfortable. Sitting long is the Buddha's sitting. It has no beginning and no end. Sitting long is getting tired. Getting tired is sitting long. There are two sides of the same coin. If Xiang Lin were a bit of a wag, he might have said, sitting long, getting tired, but I repeat myself. The monk bows, and Bai Zhang hits him. Why did he do that? Get off the sublime peak. Drop any notion of a peak, sublime or otherwise. Live your life as it is in this moment. Right now, this moment is sitting. Sitting long, getting tired, energized, irritable, peaceful, restless, sleepy, sad, or joyful. As long as you have a human body-mind, they will be inextricably linked, not separate. So too with the Buddha. Do not try to escape into some never-never land of samadhi. You're already there. You have always been there. Just do the practice. Here's a capping verse. The sun has shone for a long time. Mountains have stood a long time. Wind always blows. Rain always falls. Who gets tired? Together with all beings, we realize the way.